The state legislature is working on a tax bill that could put a little extra money in your pocket come September. Here's NBC 10.
The plan calls for $250 checks to be sent to people making between $38,000 and $100,000 a year.
State Senate President Karen Spilka says this approach provides more effective relief.
So these will be direct payments in the pockets of our residents.
And as House Speaker Ron Mariano points out, it's not every day that the state has an extra $3.6 billion to work with.
Having the surplus allows us some freedom to do a rebate system like this.
And as for Governor Baker, he says he supports the plan, but hopes the legislature goes even further before the end of the session.
Take some of our lowest income taxpayers here in Massachusetts who pay taxes in Massachusetts but don't pay federal taxes. They make so little money. We should be getting those folks off the tax rolls on a permanent basis.
So let's take it all in. Let's break it all down. What does this mean for you? Where do we go from here? Joining us to help us do that first is Boston Globe reporter Matt Stout. Matt, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Welcome to you. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. So where do we stand right now? At a high level, just the highlights, what's the basic plan?
The basic plan has a couple different elements to it. You have the about $500 million in rebates, which under the legislature's plan would go out by October.
And those are those $250, $500 checks?
Exactly. To, $500 for jointly filed couples, as well as $250 for individuals. And then more long-term changes to the tax code would change a number of different things. The earned income tax credit would be increased. They are also seeking to change the state's estate tax. And those are examples of something that would not take effect until next year and likely wouldn't see changes to your own tax bill if you're claiming some of these credits until 2024.
But it also sounds like a mix of one-time things and permanent changes.
That's what they're going for, sort of both immediate and things that would be, permanent and long-term.
And do I understand that the House is expected to vote on a final package today?
Today, right? They're expected to clear their economic development bill that includes all that with the expectation that it would have to go to the Senate perhaps next week or by the end of the month, because they must get this done effectively by July 31st over to the governor, because that's the end of their session.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? I mean, whatever they do has to be done this month.
Correct. They are facing a very tight clock when you put out major policy like this in middle or early July. You're not leaving yourself a lot of time to get it done, or at least to tackle what could be differences between the House and the Senate, but they seem to be on the same page in a lot of different elements of this. So
several weeks ago now, Governor Baker had filed legislation with his own plan. How does what's coming out of the House and looking like it's coming out of the Senate compare?
Yeah, several months ago. He filed this in early to mid-January.
Was it that long ago?
The legislature seems to have borrowed a lot from his plan. Some of the details differ, but the broad strokes, they include a lot of what the governor included, which I think is a function of, if you want to get this done in a short amount of time, you have to know you're passing something that's not going to face a lot of resistance in the governor's office. And there's a lot here that the governor would like, because it really mirrors a lot of what he was looking for.
So I'm a little bit of a process geek, and I want to underscore what you just said for listeners. So when the legislature passes it and it goes to the governor could come back and say, I want some things different. And since we're up against this July 31st timeframe, that's what you're talking about, is you can't face a lot of resistance from the governor.
Correct. If you were to send him something at the end of July, you give the governor statutorily has 10 days to act on a bill. If he were to veto something or send a bill back to the legislature with an amendment saying, I want this changed after August 1st, the legislature is not in session. They would have to either call a special session, which is rare if unprecedented during, sort of last couple decades to address it. And also, if you veto something and you don't have formal sessions, legislature can't do anything to overturn it or override the veto, even if they have the votes, enough votes to do so, because their session is done. So you're facing this very weird clock where it's not even sometimes July 31st you need to get them something by, but July 20th. So if you veto something, you have that extra day to do so before your session ends. And that depends on the bill, that depends on the substance, but there's always a lot of balls in the air, and you're kind of have to keep an eye on the clock depending on what you're sending them. And if you're not giving yourself a lot of time, you have to know that he's going to like what you're sending him, because you give him a lot of power to have a say over a final product if he's getting something and could either reject something come, you know, August 1st or afterward.
All right. So Matt Stout is a reporter for the Boston Globe. We're talking with Matt about the tax package that's coming out of the legislature. Matt, there's been, so it came kind of in two pieces. The first was the announcement of the rebates. That's received some pushback. Give us the highlights of what's going on there.
Yeah, the major pushback there is that they set a floor, essentially, for who would receive a rebate. It's those making over $38,000. And their argument is, over the last couple of months, the state has been sending out $500 checks under a totally different plan. It's called the premium pay plan, essentially to people making up to 300% of the federal poverty level.
And that's basically pandemic money.
Essentially. That's all funded by pandemic, it's sort of a mixture of like pandemic and past surplus money. There's been a lot of money flowing around Beacon Hill lately. But yeah, and then that was passed earlier this year. Checks went out in March and in the last several weeks, it's sort of in two different phases. And that's, you know, $500 checks to roughly 880,000 people making sort of up to that level, 38 or 39,000.
Hence the floor here for not to not include people who make below that 38.
Their argument is that the they're trying to a certain degree spread the wealth, if you will, and they address people, low income workers making under 39,000 that program. Now they want to address a different set of workers making above that, or taxpayers, I should say. That is the argument or the rationale of why in this. In this current round, they are setting the minimum and at the level that they are.
Well, as I understand it, the House voted against an amendment yesterday that would have removed that. Representative Michael Connelly of Cambridge co-sponsored the amendment, and he's arguing, listen, a minimum wage worker making $14.25 an hour, we need to work more than 50 hours a week in order to qualify for this rebate. So why leave people out? Any chance of traction on that, or is this done, especially given the time frame you're talking about?
So the House has rejected it. Yesterday, Senate President Karen Spilkel also indicated that she is not interested in budging on the floor, setting that floor.
Yep.
So it appears, at least from what we're hearing from the legislative leaders, that they are pretty dead set on what they proposed, and which also just might be a function of going back to the timing. They need to get this done quickly, and sort of a major change like that, adding, I can't even tell how much money that would add to the final product. I think they are pretty dead set on keeping to what they originally put out there.
Okay, Boston Globe reporter Matt Stout, who's been reporting on this. I appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to turn now to another voice here in Studio 2, Marie Frances Rivera, president of the Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center. Marie Frances, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you in studio.
Thanks.
So I have many policy questions to ask you, but before I do, I think I just want to ask, how unusual is it that we are having a conversation about the Massachusetts legislature creating a massive tax relief package with permanent tax cuts?
Well, it's not unusual that we're having the conversation right down to the deadline of when they need to decide on this pretty sizable tax package that would really, some elements restructure our tax code here in Massachusetts.
And that would be the first significant restructuring in a very long time.
I believe so.
So Matt Stout's still here. Go ahead, Matt.
The last time I think you had a major restructuring, at least either tax breaks or tax cuts, I mean, you're talking about the 2000 ballot question that ticked down the income tax. There hasn't, if you're talking about tax discussions or major tax bills over the last 20 years, they've been tax increases. This is very unusual, at least in this, you know, in the 21st century for the Massachusetts legislature.
So, Marie Frances Rivera, what do you make of this set of proposals?
It's a mixed bag. Thank you, Matt, for outlining all of the different elements. There are certainly some elements that the governor proposed and that also the House is debating and likely will pass that do benefit low-income people, benefit seniors, provide rental relief. And having that embedded into the tax code for the long term is a positive. In Massachusetts, if we look at our state and local taxes, we see that lower-income people pay more of their income in taxes.
You mean a greater percentage?
A greater percentage, yes. So that's sales taxes, income taxes, et cetera. And we see that folks in the top 1% actually pay less of a percentage of their total income in state and local taxes. So having permanent benefits to lower income people is going to restructure the tax code in a positive way.
And underscore which pieces of this package most provide permanent benefits to the most low income and vulnerable.
Sure. So in the current House proposal, there is a proposal in there to increase the earned income tax credit. it's a slight increase from 30 to 40%. So that's a positive. There's a senior circuit breaker that provides some relief to seniors who own property. That's a positive element. There are some credits, child independent tax credits in there as well. So those are all positives that would benefit lower income folks. And, you know, the rebate program does exclude. So there are elements of this proposal that actually leave lower income people out. Or if we look at the estate tax proposal, actually benefit higher income and wealthy households in Massachusetts.
Yeah, there is a yin and a yang here, right? So the estate tax proposal currently in Massachusetts, once an estate is over $1 million, every dollar gets taxed. And as I understand it, this proposal would move that threshold to $2 million and only tax what was above the $2 million.
Yes, correct. So, but they're in, and it costs a lot of money, the way that the proposal is structured. So the governor, when he proposed his, the cost on that with the estate tax cuts would have been $230 million. The House proposal brings that down slightly, one of the elements that they, to $207 million. One of the elements is that they raised the top rate. It's a graduated rate to 17%. So they did make some changes there. But, you know, one of the issues being debated with the estate tax is sort of the cliff. So people that have $1 to $2 million estates that they're passing.
Meaning maybe their house.
Yeah, maybe their house, maybe it's investments. So the total of their estate to sort of hold harmless some of those folks who are making $2 million, you know, that have estates up to $2 million. And there are proposals that were put forth to address that that wouldn't have cost as much as $200 million a year.
So we're speaking with Marie Frances Rivera of the Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center and Matt Stout of the Boston Globe. Matt, briefly on the estate tax, would that put us more in line or less in line with other states?
It technically would put us more in line. Massachusetts is currently an outlier at setting that $1 million threshold. Only Oregon has a threshold that low. So theoretically, I mean, we are an outlier compared to other states. So it's moving us closer to what other states have. So, but it's also I'm trying to think of the number. There is also a minority of states even have sort of these death taxes, these estate taxes or inheritance taxes. So to a certain degree, Massachusetts by having the tax alone
is an outlier. Is
an outlier compared to other states. So it's it depends on what bucket you want to put on, an outlier bucket you want to consider.
12 states in Washington, D.C.
No
problem at all. All right. So Marie Frances, I want to come back to you, and I'm going to go back to this rebate. It's partially a rebate question, but it's a bigger question too. We are talking about a surplus of nearly $4 billion, $3.6 billion. The latest Consumer Price Index report says that inflation is the highest it's been in 40 years. The last time grocery prices rose this much was 1979. We are talking about $250 in a rebate, $500 in a rebate, and some relief. Are we focusing enough and in the right places, or are there more systemic uses of this money that would make more sense? What's your position?
Sure. So this rebate program, and even if we're thinking about the pandemic relief program that Matt talked about, the $500, these are one-time payments. So they do, you know, and we've looked at the data during the pandemic of the federal stimulus supports and some of the tax credits that were given by the federal government. And we know that these one-time payments actually do tick poverty down.
So they do
when
work.
They do work when they're provided. So, but looking at them as a one-time thing. So, you know, these programs are effective to a certain extent. Of course, we have finite resources and we need to figure out what are the pros and cons of some of these resources. I think it's great to get money into people's hands. We also need to think about what are the other supports that people need that could impact, you know, the bottom line in their household. Thinking about investing in childcare. You know, right now, the legislature is actually looking at expansions to childcare and affordability of childcare. So we really need to weigh the pros and cons of how we're utilizing these finite resources. We've gotten over $100 billion from the federal government during this pandemic, either directly into people's pockets, to state and local government. So there's a lot of money flowing into our economy right now in Massachusetts, but that won't always be the case. So we really need to think about this moment in time, how we're best utilizing these resources to really plan for the long term here in Massachusetts.
I want to get your reaction to a statement by MIT economist Jonathan Gruber, who said that the rebate move could actually make inflation in Massachusetts worse.
Now, it won't really affect gas prices because gas prices are set internationally. So it's not going to raise gas prices, but it'll probably raise the price of other things if you give people this money.
So you give people more money and things get more expensive. Explain.
So the macroeconomy issues, we have levers here on the state level to address that. But a lot of those levers are on the federal level or through the Federal Reserve Bank, right? So there's only so much that we can even do here on the state level to impact that. So, people are immediately facing food insecurity issues, you know, gas prices, housing insecurity. So we really need to think about first and foremost, how are we immediately
deal with threats
in
front of us.
Exactly.
And Matt said of the Boston Globe that those macroeconomic forces that Marie Frances was just talking about, I think it's that idea that if you have more to spend, you'll buy more, which means there's less supply, which drives prices up.
That's my understanding. But yeah, also, I think when you're looking at from a state perspective, or if you're a state legislature, not so much from the macro, but what can we do to respond to some of these macroeconomic forces or what we're seeing? And I think that is the at least the scope or the lens that, you know, legislature, the governor is putting on of like, they're not at those levers, if you will. They're just trying to respond to the situation in front of them. And, you know, obviously this is the path that they're taking.
And Marie Frances Rivera of the Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center, Matt laid out earlier for us, you know, the sort of the ticking clock, the calendar that's collapsing on us. Aside from this tax relief package, are there one or two other things you would really like to see the state legislature do before July 31st ticks down?
Yes. So I mentioned there is an early education bill that's passing through the legislature now, which would essentially set us up for the next legislative session to really tackle some of the chronic underfunding that's happening in our early education sector in Massachusetts. So I would love to see that pass to really set us up to have that conversation about how we're going to fix that system over the long term. Supports, housing supports. There are folks talking about low-income fares, the MBTA. Yep, that would be great. That would also provide direct relief to low-income folks. That really impacts low-income folks, disproportionately, fees like that. So things of that nature.
And Matt Stout, Boston Globe, you sort of got me a little panicky about the calendar as
yes.
you were laying that out. So what else are you watching from the legislature over these next 2.5 weeks tops?
There are any number of things. I mean, we still do not have a budget for the current fiscal year that we're in. So they need to pass a budget. There is sort of energy climate legislation that still needs to be negotiated. There is a bill that would affect the governance of the Holyoke and Chelsea soldier homes. That was a response to sort of the tragedy we saw at the Holyoke soldiers home 2+ years ago that has still not been, have a final agreement on. There are a number of balls in the air. And yeah, we're not the only ones looking at the calendar and the days ticking by.
Think most of it will get done?
I think most times they do, but there's definitely been years where things have, not hit the finish line.
Fallen off the cliff?
Yeah.
All right. Matt Stout is a reporter with the Boston Globe, and Marie Frances Rivera is the president of the Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center. You made taxes interesting, you two. Thank
Great.
You so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.